But I'm going to begin reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, and read to verse 17. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly, that is unknowingly, have entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. So that would be unprofitable for you. Let's pray. Lord, it is a tremendous thing that you have designed your church in such a way that we may come and we may hear from your word, and hopefully, Lord, from you, by your Spirit, as he takes these words and takes them deep into our hearts and there applies them. And Lord, may these words remain with us. Father, your word says that if we abide in you and your words abide in us, that we will bear great fruit. That whatever we ask in your name will be granted to us. Father, this we pray in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would grant it to us, that your word here this morning would reach these hearts, not fall to the ground, but Lord, be lifted up by your sweet Spirit and taken, Lord, deep into our hearts. And there, Father, let them have a home. And let them there remain and stay with us all the days of our lives. Father, may that be so that we might become worshipers of the Most High. Worshipers, God, who are consumed, caught up with you and all that you are for us in your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray together. Amen. You know, change, even good change, can be difficult at times. Last week I presented a vision for Living Hope, and you probably noticed that there are going to be some changes around here over the next little while. And maybe that brings a level of discomfort to you. It could. That's what change does. It takes us away from what is safe and familiar and comfortable, and it brings us to a place that is new and challenging and can bring discomfort, can bring trouble. The early Jewish Christians, our brothers and sisters in the first century, knew all about the trouble that change can bring. Because for them, coming to Jesus Christ meant great change. I mean, gone were the days of the temple for these people. And gone were the feasts. And gone were the sacrifices. And maybe more than anything, the fact that they no longer brought sacrifices, no longer could smell the bulls and the rams roasting in the middle of the temple. Maybe that was the most difficult thing for these Jewish Christians. And maybe being sensitive and being aware of that, as the author of Hebrews writes, he tells them, listen, yes, sacrifices are done away with, and yes, things are different, but there is one sacrifice that still remains. There's one thing that won't change. And that sacrifice, and that thing that won't change, he calls the sacrifice of praise. He says that one sacrifice remains. That doesn't change. And that doesn't change for us. Even as we are about to undergo great changes, one thing will remain the same for us here at Living Hope. We will always be people who worship God. We will always be a worshiping community. And this morning, if we're to be a worshiping community, it stands to reason that we need to learn how to do that. We need to learn what it is to be a worshiping community. And what the author of Hebrews means when he says, let us continually offer to Him a sacrifice of praise. What does that mean? What does that mean to offer a sacrifice of praise? How do we do that? Well, this morning we're going to find out in three ways. We're going to take a look at what it means to be a person who offers a sacrifice of praise. What that means. And first of all, we notice this. That we offer the sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips. That's how we do it. That's how we offer the sacrifice. We do it with the fruit of our lips. Now, normally when we think of worship, I mean of true God-honoring worship, we don't often think of lip worship, do we? I mean, after all, didn't Jesus say something about lip worship? Didn't Jesus condemn lip worship? What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You worship me with your lips, but your what? Your heart is far from me. I mean, when we read in the Bible of lip worship, it's not normally a good thing. But this is different. Because here we're told to offer a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips. The fruit of our lips. Now, maybe that's not an expression that grabs you. That necessarily strikes something within you, but it would have for the first century Jewish Christians. Because that exact expression is found in Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Except there in the Hebrew, the expression is the calves of our lips. The writers of the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, came along and they understood that expression to mean, well, the fruit of our lips. And that really has stayed. Guided by the Holy Spirit, the author of Hebrews is picking up that expression, the fruit of our lips, but maybe that still doesn't mean much to you. What does that mean? Well, he goes on to explain a little further. He says, giving thanks to His name. That's what it means to offer the fruit of our lips. We give thanks to His name. Now, I realize, however, that there are differences in your translations. The New King James Version says, giving thanks to His name. The English Standard Version says, the fruit of our lips, acknowledging His name, or confessing His name. And that would be a good translation. Because that's what the word there means. It means to acknowledge. It means to confess. And so I think what the author is saying here is this. As we come to God, we're to open up our mouths and we are to acknowledge the excellencies of God and all the good things that He has done for us in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. It means that we take time to meditate, to ponder, to carefully go over and consider all the great things about God. His love, His grace, His wisdom, His power, all those things that He has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what He's saying here. This is how we offer the fruit of our lips. Would you say that characterizes us as a fellowship? Always? I mean, as you come into the worship of God, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, even as you're out and about, milling about through this world, would you say that this is a fair description of who you are? That you are a person who offers to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, confessing, acknowledging His name? Or could it be that there are times, and maybe more times than we are willing to acknowledge, that our mouths aren't brimming with fruit? Our lips are actually a little more barren. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that we tend to come to the worship of God? Why is it that we seem to go through life and we allow the distractions of this life, the difficulties of this life to weigh us down, and we don't come bearing fruit? That His praise isn't always on our lips. Why is that? We walk around moping at times. Frustrated. Irritated. My life is not what I want it to be. How can I give thanks to God when my life is as it is? You know, I think, friends, we need to have a little chat with ourselves at those times. And say to ourselves, soul, why are you so down? Why are you so discouraged? Do you deserve better? I mean, what exactly is it about you, soul, that deserves a better life? That deserves a happy, trial-free life? Is it your moral perfection? Is it your exquisite moral perfection? Is that what makes you so deserving, soul, of a happy life? I have a hunch that we go through life feeling like we're getting gypped by God. We think of all the things that are not in our lives. We think of all the things that we don't like. And somehow there's this nagging sense that God is out to get us. Now, how can you praise somebody when you believe they're out to get you? And maybe what we need to do is to stop and ask ourselves a very fundamental question. Why is it that I am so preoccupied with the smoothness of my life? Such that if it doesn't go well, God doesn't get praised. Could it be this? That we have just an inordinate sense of our own worth. And we really don't believe how unbelievably wicked we are. We think we deserve something from God. And if God doesn't give me what I want, then He ain't getting the glory. Now, friends, listen. You and I have got to do something. We have got to approach God, approach life, approach His worship with this. I am so unbelievably disqualified from bringing anything of any worth to God. I am wicked beyond comprehension. I deserve nothing but the flames of eternal torment. And anything I get from God, anything at all, is a total bonus. And that's not what we want to say. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to go to the place where we're actually understanding how vile we are in God's sight. In our sin, rather. Because it's humbling. But
But friends, I don't know what to do. If I'm to be a worshiper of God, I have got to have a sense of my vileness before God. And to see my life as nothing but one huge blessing. I know a man, a colleague of mine. The man struggles with a debilitating disease. And one day someone asked him the question, how come you're so happy? How can you do what you do with such joy, such passion? He says, well, I believe that I deserve nothing but hell. And I really believe that. And it's not until we believe that we are really what we are, and that God has been so gracious to us, friends, that we're going to be able to offer Him a sacrifice of praise. And that means, my friends, that we have got to be acknowledging, we have got to be thinking upon God and upon His ways. We've got to be thinking about the grace and the goodness that He's shown us and stop focusing on how miserable our lot is in life. We live our lives out of a sense of deprivation. Friends, you haven't been deprived. You have God as your God. You have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and King. You've got everything. What are you doing focusing on the difficulties of your life? That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to look at these things. And he wants you to say, God is not being fair to me. I'm getting ripped off, friends. All that Satan wants to do is to rip you off of your joy in God of His glory. That's his main purpose. You let him do that? If there's one thing that Satan detests, it is the praise of God. Now listen, we've got to be rigorous with ourselves. We've got to fight the assaults as we come to the worship of God. Not just waltzing in. Not just sort of bringing all of our problems and cares and just letting them weigh us down. No. We're not immature children. We're mature people in Jesus Christ. We don't allow our problems to get in the way of the worship of God. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We look at Him. We look at the things He's done for us. We don't listen to Satan. When he says, look at your problems. God's been unfair. We don't say that. We say, I deserve nothing but hell. And God's been good to me. And God's been gracious to me. And I am looking at all the good things He does to me. And all the blessings of this life. And I'm letting that animate my soul so that I'm coming into His worship. Instead of yawning, I'm brimming with praise. Who the Lord is? Fruit of our lips. We want to be people whose mouths are brimming with fruit. Large clusters of fruit. Not stuff withering on the vine. Not something barren. But something fruitful. Fruit that blossoms from a heart that understands how good God has been. In light of what I deserve. Here's how we offer God a sacrifice of praise. We do it with the fruit of our lips. But now you might say, well, listen, you know, am I not entitled to the odd funk? I mean, aren't there days when I can just come into the worship of God, or, you know, I have off days, and, you know, maybe my praise isn't really that exalting. You know, am I not entitled to those kinds of days? I mean, we all have hard days, don't we? No. The answer is yes to, yes, we have those days. The answer is no, we're not entitled to withhold the praise of God. Because the psalmist, or the author rather, says this. Verse 15, therefore by Him let us what? Continually. Now, whatever that word means, it means at least this, a lot. You say, well, Kieran, how can you possibly do this continually? I mean, don't you have to go to bed? Aren't we sometimes engaged in things that require us to focus so that we can't praise God as we are doing right here? Yes, but you know as well as I do that that's not what the author's talking about. He's talking about a frequency. here. He's talking about doing this a lot continually. He's not talking about doing it uninterruptedly. He's saying that our lives should manifestly be lives of ongoing praise to God. At all times I will bless the Lord, the psalmist says. That's what we are to be. Here's how we offer up the sacrifice of praise. We do it continually. In Ephesians 5:19, the Apostle Paul gives us this amazing exhortation. Listen to this. Sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for everything. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you offer up a sacrifice of praise continually? When you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you stub your toe on the door frame and somebody finished the milk and you go out and you get into a car accident and you get fired and you get sick, and it gets worse. How do we continually offer up a sacrifice of praise? I think it's this. We look for the good things in this life. We look at the good things. It means this. When you wake up, you say to yourself, praise God, I have another day to live. God didn't take me in my sleep. It means that when you go in and you shower, hey, I've got hot water. Praise God. It means that when you put on your clothes, hey, praise God, I've got something to wear. It means when you get in your car, praise God, I've got transportation. It means when you go to work, praise God, I've got a job. It means when you finish your work for the day, praise God, I can rest from my labors. It means when you come to church here, praise God, I've got a church to go to. I've got a loving community that loves me and encourages me. And these are good things. You look for the good, and you praise Him. And you make that your example, or the way that you go through life, that you just praise God. You're always praising God. Did you praise God for the cornflakes this morning? Did you praise God for your clothes? Did you praise God for the transportation? We're always be praising God. Did you come to God this morning, as you come to the worship of God, and say, God, thank you for this church. Thank you for a day with brothers and sisters. What a blessing. Thank you. You look for the good and the difficult things too. Yeah, you do. It means that you've got to pay your bills. Praise God, I've got the money. When I got to pay the mortgage, the rent, praise God, I got a place to live. When you get sick, praise God, it's not fatal. You praise Him. The good things, even in the difficulties. You praise Him when you don't know what your future holds, because you know that God holds it. You praise God when bad things happen to you, when adversity strikes, when things that happen that you don't want to happen. You praise God because you know that He'll never leave you or forsake you, that all these things are from His hands. And they're designed only for your sanctification because He loves you. It means we're always looking for God's goodness. We're always looking for His grace. We're always interpreting the things that happen to us in this life. We're doing it continually. Yesterday, we decided to go down to Center Island. It was a great idea. What we didn't know was the DVP was closed. And it took us 2 hours to get down there. And I kept on moving back towards the DVP, hoping that it would be available. But it was always shut off, and so back and forth, I went all the way down to the bottom. It took me 2 hours. And I was in such a snit. And God was saying, Karen, I'm still worthy. I'm still worthy to be praised. We got down to Center Island, we were having lunch in a restaurant, and I just had the sense that God was going to bring somebody along and just show me how thankful I should be. And He did. In walked this
delayed individual. I mean, really delayed. And just got the sense that, yeah, you know what? It's good. God is good. 2 hours on the DVP, my friend, is nothing. And your difficulties and your problems, in light of God's goodness and grace to you, and He has been, what are those things? Those things will come and they will go. Hard to believe, they will. God's love endures in your life. It endures. He'll never leave you or forsake you. His love will never be stopped. It will never be limited. It will never be lessened. It will always remain constant and infinite. And that means, my friends, that we are to continually offer up His praise. Every moment offers us fresh stuff to praise God for, doesn't it? Let us continually offer up this sacrifice of praise to God. We're doing it continually. We're not people who just sort of walk through life with this great cloud over our heads, where everything is difficult and everything is horrible and life is grim. Friends, life is not grim. God is good. In fact, there's a word here in verse 15 at the very beginning, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What does that therefore do? It shoots us back in the text. And what do we find in verses 7 down to verse 14? Hey, guess what? This is great news. Jesus Christ has saved you. He says, therefore. Here's why we're to continually do it. Therefore, because God has saved us in Jesus Christ. And He's saying, look at that. And get over your funk. And get on to praising me continually because I'm worth it. You hear that? We offer it with the fruit of our lips. We offer it frequently. Frequently. Would you ever come to worship of God and you just want to praise Him and you want to worship Him, but there's something in your heart that almost stops you because you think about who you are, you think of who God is, and you look at your sin and you think of His holiness and you think to yourself, how can I do this? I mean, how can I really offer to God a sacrifice that He's going to receive? I mean, I know my heart. I know what I did on Thursday. I know what I did yesterday. And here I am on the Lord's Day. I'm coming to Him and I want to offer the sacrifice of praise. I mean, who am I kidding? Your heart condemns you. Ever feel that way? I mean, as I say to you, offer this fruit of your lips, as I say, do it frequently, do you say, I understand that. And I think the author understands that. And that's why he has inserted two beautiful words here. And they are words, my friend, that not only encourage us in His worship, but they inspire worship. Any idea what those words are? By Him. Let us, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. I mean, those are the first words that we come to when we enter verse 15. In fact, in the Greek, by Him is even more emphatic. It's not therefore by Him, it's by Him therefore. I mean, the author wants us to be gripped by these words as we come to this verse. He doesn't want us to say, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to offer up the sacrifice of praise. No, no. He's saying, here's how we do it. By Him. That's the first thing I want you to know as you come to offer up this sacrifice of praise. It is by Him. And that's a good thing. You want to know why it's a good thing? I'll tell you why it's a good thing.
It's a good thing because Jesus Christ sanctifies and dedicates you to God and makes your worship acceptable. That's what he does. That's his great work as a mediator. Look at verse 12. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. That's what Christ's blood did for you. It has sanctified you. It has cordoned you off as holy and special and precious in God's sight, so that you are now free to enter his presence and give him worship. And Jesus Christ himself has prepared a way for you to do that. That veil that remained shut, that veil that remained closed to you because of your sin, has been ripped apart by the destruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his taking upon himself the wrath of God in your place. That wall's been taken apart, been ripped down, divided, so that he and we in him might approach God. That's great news. And Jesus Christ today continues to offer intercession for us. He continues to minister and to offer up our worship to God so that it is acceptable. Do you know that? Every time you come into the worship of God and as you praise him, your prayers, your worship goes up through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ presents before the Father, and it is perfect. Let that encourage you as you come to his worship. You're not coming with just you. You're not coming with just your sin. You're not coming with just all the things that hinder you and block you from the living God. No, you're coming by him. By him, Jesus Christ makes your worship acceptable and pleasing and great. When I was a young boy, every year we had science fair. I don't know if you had science fair in school. And sure, you know, every, right at the last minute, I would be struggling to get my science fair done. And finally, I'd go to Dad and say, Dad, this is due tomorrow, but it's horrible. And Dad would say, son, leave it with me. And I'm not joking, the next morning I'd wake up and there at the front door, ready to go, would be an absolute masterpiece. He'd taken it into his art studio the night before and just spent hours crafting and preparing and making this thing absolutely perfect. And you know what? That's what it is for us, friends, with worship of God. We give God these things that aren't altogether perfect. But in faith, through Jesus Christ, they are accepted as absolutely perfect. Not as though they're perfect, but absolutely perfect through him. Now let that encourage your worship. Because we come to him and we know in our hearts there's something that would keep us from God. We know that we cannot rise to the level of such holiness. But by Jesus Christ, and by his righteousness, and by his work on our behalf, our worship is received as perfect, and God is pleased with it. So very pleased. Verse 16, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We want to be worshipers of God more than anything. We do. And this morning, God is calling us to that. He's calling us to offer up a sacrifice of praise. And friends, he's given us all that we need to do this. All that we need for our worship to be perfect and acceptable and pleasing in God's sight. Let that encourage you. Let that inspire you. Let it do that for us here in this community. Let it be said that above all, we are people who worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, confessing and acknowledging his name. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we would ask this then of you, that this very exhortation would become a theme for our lives.
Lord, that the things that we have heard, the good things, Lord, that they would remain with us and that they would be brought to mind and that they would guide us so that more and more and evermore, that above all, Father, first and foremost, we might proclaim your excellencies, might acknowledge your grace, might know more and more just how good you are and how vast is your salvation for us. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.